Hello, my name is Teddy Green. I will be the host of today's podcast. I'm here talking with Chris Fazzari, a contributing writer, and Jake Gloth, an opinions editor for the DU Clarion. Today we will be talking about Denver and Colorado ballot questions.
So I'm Jake Gloth, the opinions editor for the DU Clarion.
I'm Chris Fazzari, a contributing writer for the DU Clarion.
We're going to start today talking about Amendment 76, which would change the Colorado Constitution to specify that only a citizen of the United States is eligible to vote. Chris and Jake, let's talk.
Alrighty, I'm Chris, and the Amendment 76 is slightly misleading in its wording, as the Colorado Constitution already requires that a voter must be a citizen of the United States to vote. It slightly modifies the language and also would attempt to overturn the recent change in Colorado law that allows 17-year-olds to vote in primary elections if they would be 18 by the time of the general election.
Another proposition is Proposition 113 that would put Colorado in the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. This could have some interesting consequences. Are you going to tell us about that, Jake?
So the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact is a multi-state agreement that all the signatories shall put their state's electors to the winner of the national popular vote. Colorado is already in the compact. However, this question is asking voters to reaffirm whether or not we should leave the compact. Currently, 196 electoral votes. Currently, enough states to equal 196 electoral votes are in the compact. One of the issues with the compact is it only goes into effect if enough states to equal 270 electoral votes enter.
Mm-hmm. And up next, we have Proposition 114. This is a wild proposition. Tell us about it.
The proposition would be to reintroduce gray wolves into Colorado, which recently were killed off in the 1940s. And the idea is that it would bring back a species of wolves that are gone from the state, and it would help regulate deer and elk populations within the state.
Mm-hmm. And would the people be attacked by wolves?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, wonderful. Up next, we have Proposition 118, which would institute family and medical leave for many Colorado employees. Jake, will you tell us about that?
So this proposition would institute paid family leave and medical leave for many of Colorado's employees. And so it authorizes this leave for covered employees with a serious health condition or a family member with a serious condition. And also for employees covering or caring for a new child or the need to relocate due to a member's military deployment. And it establishes 12 weeks of family and medical leave with additional 4 weeks allotted to pregnancy or childbirth complications. It prohibits retaliation against employees that take this leave and allows local governments to opt out of the program. And it'll be funded by a maximum of 1.2% tax on each employee's wages. So that's a tax on the employees that are within the program. And you can opt out of the program if you'd like, but you forfeit the leave, but you don't have to pay the tax.
Speaking of taxes, on the Denver ballot, there are some pressing questions, namely question 2A and question 2B, which, if passed, would raise the sales tax to 0.25%. Chris?
Yes, so this proposed 0.25% increase is related to both questions. Question 2A would help to direct some of that money to climate mitigation programs and also additional job training to train people in renewable and energy saving sectors. Question 2B would relate to increasing access for different programs for the homeless to help them economically.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Next up, we've got some questions on the Denver ballot about a very hot topic in Denver, the ban on pit bulls. Tell us about that, Jake.
So question two, Jay, would overturn the 30-year-long ban on pit bulls and allow dogs within the city limits if appropriately licensed.
Nice. And now we've got some questions about education on the Denver ballot as well. Questions 4A and B would affect the funding of Denver public schools.
Yes, so questions 4A and 4B would affect levy taxes and bond purchasing, and this is a way to help the Denver public schools get more money and help serve their students better, as with the COVID pandemic, there have been a lot of struggles for them to move to online learning and help equal access for their students to access online learning.
We have Amendment B, which is a proposed repeal of the Gallagher Amendment. Tell us about that, Jake.
So this is a bit of a complicated issue. It deals with the ratio between commercial and residential taxes that the Colorado government sets up or has to update consistently. And so repealing this amendment would remove this setup where Colorado has to update this ratio. The argument is that the state could then increase commercial taxes and keep residential taxes low.
Wonderful. 2H proposes the possibility for the city of Denver to create and or operate internet infrastructure. What would that mean for the people of Denver?
So broadband internet access is a big issue, especially now where most of how we exist in the COVID pandemic is online and through online learning. This question would allow the city to, in the future, pursue their own projects to create fiber internet infrastructure and even possibly a city-operated internet company. And this is to help increase access, as many telecommunications companies don't want to offer services to areas they deem as less profitable.
Interesting. So would it be a possibility to get free public Wi-Fi to the city of Denver?
It's the question opens it up as a future possibility. Currently, the state bars cities and municipalities from executing such plans, but if this question were to pass, it would allow Denver to pursue such actions in the future.
Fascinating. Let's talk about Proposition 118.
I don't know. So the program, you know, there's the parts that people consider negatives, which is the 1.2% tax on each employee's wages. And so that's a maximum, so it's not going to start off being a 1.2% tax. And so some people might not like that extra tax, but the other part of it is it does have that that paid family and medical leave, which a lot of families need. So this would affect employees of the Colorado government. And it does leave room for counties that do not want to participate in this program or against this program, so they can opt out of it. So okay. It leaves a lot of options for those who are against this proposition.
Another prominent proposition is Proposition EE that could increase taxes on cigarettes and other tobacco products. Here talking to us about that is Jake. Jake, tell us about this.
So the tax would tax cigarettes, tobacco products, nicotine vapes, which are currently not taxed, and the proposition would gradually increase tobacco products tax rate as well as the new tax on vape products. It would change from the current 40% of the distributor's price to 62% by 2027. And this has received some support from Save the Children Action Network, which recently put out a letter to the editor in the Clarion in support of this because the newly obtained funds would be dedicated towards education, particularly a universal preschool program. But it's received some backlash from Colorado Senate President Kevin J. Grantham because of the new tax.
We could also add one of the things with EE is it doesn't tax modified risk tobacco products, which is this big tobacco essentially creating new, less dangerous products that they're trying to promote more. Mm-hmm. And some people see this as the state like endorsing tobacco companies, and that's how the companies are okay with this proposition.
Okay. So if they release some of these reduced risk tobacco products or modified risk tobacco products, would that be a loophole in the tax for them?
That's currently the idea under my understanding, as mm-hmm. these are products that heat tobacco less than burning it. I don't super understand the science myself.
Yeah.
But the idea is it's less damaging to the individual.
Do you know if vapes count as one of those?
Currently, no.
Okay.
That's the big aspect of EE, is currently vape products are not taxed in the state of Colorado, and so this would institute a tax suppliers have to pay.
And how do you think people on campus would react if Proposition EE were to go through?
An interesting perspective I heard from one of my friends was that the maximum tax would be achieved in 2027, and they would like to think that they would have stopped vaping by 2027. So it's interesting. It might, in fact, achieve the goal that it's hoping to do.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. So would vape juice be counted as a modified risk tobacco product?
Currently, vape juice is not. Modified risk tobacco products are a new designation by the FDA, and most products don't receive this designation. However, another aspect of the proposition is it would create a minimum price for a pack of cigarettes at $7, and this might hurt some of the discount cigarette companies.
Most definitely.
Yeah, and that argument is completely prevalent since the Clarion has received letters to the editors from students whose parents are in charge or own certain companies that would be affected by this. And so it would hurt, I guess, some DU students.
The Clarion's received letters from kids whose parents own, like, tobacco companies and stuff?
Yeah, so the letters to the editor is sort of a section in the Clarion where people can send in their opinions on certain things. And so we received one from SCAN, which is the Save the Children Action Network, and they are very for this proposition because they want to help students in, like, you know, get that universal preschool program. And we've received opposing ideas as well.
It's fascinating.
One of the big opposing arguments against it is a lot of low-income communities have high rates of smoking and nicotine addiction. The idea is a lower-income individual with a nicotine addiction would struggle even more. Whether or not that's a valid argument, I believe, is up to the voters to decide.
Up next is Proposition 115 that would ban abortions after 22 weeks, except for when one is needed to save the life of a pregnant woman. Chris, do you have anything to add?
So, yes, Proposition 115 would ban all abortions after 22 weeks of fetal age, except for an immediate threat to the woman's life. It's not 100% clear what that would entail. Students may have seen this question on social media as two competing social media campaigns have emerged, urging students to vote for or against the measure, as it's a very contentious issue.
I think that banning abortions after 22 weeks could start, you know, some big movements to happen here in Denver. How do you think this would affect people on campus? How do you think this would affect people in the city of Denver if Proposition 115 was passed?
I think it's relatively strict, as even a lot of abortion bans and regulations in more southern states make exceptions for cases of rape, and Proposition 115 doesn't do that. So
the Clarion has also received some letters to the editor about this topic as well. Another contributing writer, Aurora Van Dam, had an opinion piece about this, proposing that the ban is nonsensical. And so if you'd like to hear that argument, she has that article on the DU Clarion's website. And the school has the two social media pages for and against the ban. So it's obviously a very contentious issue at the school. And so it already has affected students a lot.
And if Proposition 15 were to pass, it would be considered a misdemeanor to perform or attempt to perform an abortion, and would require medical boards to suspend the licenses of individuals who were found to administer abortions for at least 3 years.
And are there any proposed legal consequences for the person whom the abortion was performed on?
I don't believe so. So the statute states that any person who intentionally recklessly performs or attempts to perform an abortion after 21 weeks of gestation would be guilty of a class one misdemeanor punishable by a fine of $500 to $5,000. I haven't read the full statute, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it just affects the person that performs the abortion.
Proposition 115 is a very hot button issue. Jake, is there anyone in the DU community who, is there anything in the DU community that is pertinent to Proposition 115?
So on the DU Clarion's website, we had an opinions article from Aurora Van Dam, who's a student at DU. And she stated the following as a reason to vote against the proposition. She said, "To put this plainly, if a person finds out their baby will not live to the due date, but they are past 22 weeks, an abortion would be illegal. This would force them to carry their deceased baby to term. If a person with a uterus is raped and discovers past 22 weeks that this resulted in a pregnancy, they would be forced to carry that baby to term." So she clearly points out some of the faults in the plan. If you'd like to see more, it's on the website. And she goes into some other perspectives, as well as Jack Teeters, who's the political director for Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountain.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of students speaking out against 115, there are also two competing Instagram pages for and against 115 out of University of Denver. Chris, would you like to tell us about those?
Sure. So there is Yes 115 DU and No 115 Uni Denver. They each seem to be partnered with a wider organization. The Yes account references Vote Them a Voice, which is a nonpartisan organization focused on passing Proposition 115. And the No 115 Instagram account references a partnership with the Feminist Majority Foundation, which is a nonprofit group that is highly focused on issues such as passing the Equal Rights Amendment.
So when should people go and vote?
So currently, all Colorado state registered voters should have received a ballot in the mail. They can fill that ballot out and mail it back or drop it off at drop boxes around the city. But there will also be a mobile voting center on campus. Students can drop off ballots at the mobile voting center that will be on Carnegie Green, October 19th and 20th. They additionally can vote in person as a Colorado voter at that station.
And for Colorado in general, in person, you have to vote by November 3rd, by mail, by October 26th.
The closest drop-off box, if you cannot drop it off on Carnegie Green on those dates, is at the police precinct just on the other side of I-25.
Thank you guys for coming in. That's all the questions we have for today. Make sure to go check out the DU Clarion at theduclarion.com and tune in next time.